In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we have a parable about the kingdom of heaven. There are many of them in the scriptures. And basically, all of these begin in this manner. The kingdom of heaven is like unto something. And they are describing the way of life that we must have to be in the kingdom of heaven. That is really what they're describing more than the state of being in heaven itself. That is a difficult thing to understand. I have not seen nor ear heard those things. But we do know, because it's been revealed to us by our Lord Jesus Christ and by all of the Gospels and by all of the Scripture, how we should live. So this parable is about how we should live to be in the kingdom. And it serves a double purpose, as many parables do. Sometimes parables have multiple shades of meanings. This one has two basic ideas that the Lord is trying to get across. The one is that the Jews were invited by the Lord, became His people, and then they rejected Him. This is that invitation to the wedding feast that they reject in this parable, where they say, one goes to his farm and one to his merchandise. Basically, speaking of earthly things or of carnal desires. And then others were invited to the feast, and those are the Gentiles. So this is yet another part of Scripture that speaks of the calling of the Gentiles. There are dozens, if not hundreds, of Scriptures that refer to the calling of the Gentiles. So that's one meaning. But that's a meaning that applies to the Jews, and especially to the Jews of that time. And we're not Jews, and we're not living in that time. So how does this parable apply to us? It is describing that it's similar to the parable of the tares, for instance. Because it's showing that those in the church are good and bad. Because after the Lord had his servants go and out to the people and say, come to the wedding feast. And so many said, no, I'm not coming. Then he told them to go out as far as they could and to invite everybody so that the wedding feast would be filled. And it says in the parable, the wedding was filled with guests, both good and bad. Both good and bad means sinners and saints. It means us. Just like the parable of the tares shows that at the judgment, those who have not lived a life in keeping with the name Christian would be bound up and would be burned. So it is here. Because during the wedding festivities, the king walks around to his guests and notices that there is a man who's not wearing a wedding garment. Now the custom of that time was that when you entered a wedding of a rich person, they would give you good clothing to wear, clean clothing to wear. And so everyone had a wedding garment distributed to them when they entered. This man also had a wedding garment distributed to him. And this is why he was speechless when he was asked, friend, why don't you have your garment on? Because he had actually discarded his garment. Perhaps he had never put it on at all. Or perhaps he had just thrown it away at some later date, later time. And, of course, what happens to the man is that the king is angry, and he says, cast him out into the outer darkness and bind him hand and foot, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is, of course, referring to the judgment. Binding him hand and foot means he no longer has any capability of acting. When you're bound hand and foot, you can't move. So it is with death. With death, there is no repentance. You cannot repent after your death. You can be sorry after your death, and indeed, there will be those who will be very sorry and ashamed. But repentance means changing. Repentance means saying, I don't want to do this thing anymore. I know it's wrong. I'm going to try not to do it. There is no change after death. There is no repentance. That is what the binding hand and foot means. And the gnashing of the teeth means being completely aware all the time, at every moment, for eternity, of our sins, which are not remitted because we did not struggle in this life. So that's really a terrible vision of hell. Not something with fire and with pitchforks and with sulfur and brimstone. It is our own conscience that will burn us in hell. But the Lord invites everyone to the wedding feast, good and bad. Let us rejoice in this. And let's go ahead and say we're bad. Because we are. But the Lord can help us to become good. That is a great joy. It should be a great joy to you. The Lord invites everyone to come. Now, many are called, but few are chosen. So says the Scripture. So how can you be sure that you are chosen? You've already been called, most of you. Most of us are in the church. Have been baptized. How are we chosen? Well, the Lord says, if you love me, you will keep me my commandments. So we struggle to keep His commandments. That's all we do. And the Lord helps us. And then we will be chosen. We struggle to have this wedding garment, which of course is Christ, to be clean. You know, when we're baptized, what we say, as many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. This wedding garment is Christ. And we should not take off Christ once we put Him on. We should struggle against our sins. And we should have reflection on what kind of person we are. And we should be vicious, violent, it says in the Scriptures, right? The kingdom of heaven is won by violence. Violent against our sins. We should admit, look in the mirror and say, you're not a good person. You're too lustful. You're too jealous. You're too envious. You're too lazy. But with God helping, you'll be changed. Christianity is absolute honesty. Just be honest about yourself. But with great hope. You know, if you don't think you're bad and you're bad, you're very deluded. It's better to think you're bad. It's better to know what's wrong. And God will help you with it. This is really the teaching of this parable and so much else in Scripture. The Lord gives us the invitation. So we come into the church. And what are we to do in the church? We are trying to maintain our wedding garments. Now the wedding garment gets dirty from sin. What do we do then? We repent. And then the garment is clean again. It's really very simple. May God help us to just live in the simplicity of life. We've been called. But there is a responsibility we have. In order to be chosen. In order that at the judgment, the Lord will say, I know you. You know the Gospel of Matthew at the very end? About the judgment. And all these people are surprised. They say, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or sick or in prison? And we didn't minister to you? And the Lord says, when you didn't minister to the least of these, well, you didn't minister unto me. The Lord is saying that He's looking in us, in our hearts, to see if He recognizes Himself in us. We were made in the image of God, but we must work on making that image into a shining likeness of Him. We have the potential, and we've been given everything we need. But if we do not struggle to become like Him in the judgment, the Lord will look at us and say, I don't know you. Of course, He knows who we are, but He doesn't see Himself in us. Those are the ones that will be judged. Those are the ones that will be bound hand and foot and will be gnashing their teeth for eternity. So brothers and sisters, we have an invitation. Do we accept it? The invitation is to be in the church and to become perfected. To grow to perfection. And it is possible. In fact, it is what is appointed for us. So let us struggle to keep the wedding garment clean. Now. lots of times that wedding garment gets dirty. Don't despair. Despair kills you. Because despair makes us separate ourselves from God. Despair is basically not believing in God. Don't despair. Just struggle. You have trouble with a long-standing sin? Come to confession. You have trouble with having some sort of enmity against someone? Pray for that person, even if it's through clenched teeth. Pray for them. You're lazy? Well, try to fast a little bit better. You're not very good at fasting? Come to talk to me and we'll talk about fasting. Don't give up. Because all these small efforts on your part will attract the grace of God. And the grace of God cannot be stopped. And the grace of God will keep your wedding garment clean. It's really very simple. Just live, pray, struggle to follow God's commandments with faith and with love, and your wedding garment will stay clean. And then at the end, the Lord will know you, and you will know Him. Amen.